Hi, welcome to the International Franchise Association's Women's Franchise Committee podcast, Her Success, the Stories of Female Franchise Leaders. I'm Michelle Rowan with Franchise Business Review, and I'm also the chair of the WFC. And today I am so excited to be talking with Sonda Kitchen, franchisee and president of Mr. Reuter Plumbing of Sonoma County. She's also the 2010 Crystal Compass winner, an award that's given by the Women's Franchise Committee for outstanding leadership in the franchise industry. So Sonda, thank you so much for doing this. We're excited to have you. And I'm gonna just have you start with, what's your story? Give us some background of how you even got into franchising.
Right, I mean, what a story. Thank you for having me, I really appreciate it. I can't believe it's more than 2010.
I know.
Wow, here you go, crazy.
I think it was my first annual leadership conference too.
Was it?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
Very good. So thanks for having me. Yes, I currently own Mr. Reuter Plumbing of Sonoma County, California, very proud owner. I've owned various brands of Dwyer Group neighborly companies for the past 25 years. I started because, you know, I met a guy in the trades, and he wanted to franchise his company, and he wanted to get into franchising as a better model in the construction industry. And I kind of fell in love with the process of the business and learned that I was really good at that, really good at following systems and operations. And it turned out that the business stuck, but the guy didn't. Right? That happens. But it introduced me to this world of trades that I would have never been a part of, because I never in my entire life grew up thinking I would be a plumber. So...
Yeah, that's probably very common for little girls to not think about becoming a plumber when they grow up.
I mean, my daughters don't want to be a plumber, so, you know, yeah. I don't know.
All right, I love it. So let's start with that then, kind of, so you're a woman in a trade business. That cannot be easy, is my guess.
Right, right. It is not easy. It's easier now because I've been doing it for a while, but... In the beginning, it certainly was not easy. You know, there were a lot of people that we had hired in the beginning where we needed tradespeople. We needed 25-year experience people. We needed these plumbers and electricians, and, you know, and then we, you know, learned over time that those people were the most challenging for us. In fact, I had a couple of team members, as I was telling them what to do or asking them what to do, that flat out, you know, just yelled at me and wanted to actually physically fight with me. Like, it was crazy. It was very, very interesting. But what I learned is that it wasn't the plumbing part that I was drawn to, is the development of the people. And I think that that's true in any other business. Even in a male dominated trade, at first I thought I had to be a man. So I acted like a man. You know, I was much more a thinker and, you know, black and white and very, you know, let's get it done. And very much like, let me just see how much I could be manlike. was not helpful for me. But I didn't realize that until later, that I embraced, you know, what the innate nature of being a woman is, and learned that nurturing and compassion and having gut instinct and intuition was really, really important for building companies, building cultures, and building my leadership style, really.
Yeah, and I think that's common, that you feel like you have to be a chameleon to fit into your space that you're in. And I'm kind of even more interested in how you kind of came into your own as a woman, because for me, it was, I was able to work under female leaders. And so they kind of showed me how to do it, or made me feel more comfortable in being a woman at work. And where you're the leader of the company, how did you come about to kind of get that gumption to just be yourself, or to let that stuff come into this place where it wasn't traditional?
You know, it's a great question. I had amazing women mentors in my life. Many of you know these names. I had Dina Dwyer Owens, who obviously was a huge influence in my life, being a franchisee of hers for 25 years. Mary Kennedy Thompson, you know, amazing woman, amazing leader. I have currently, like Susan Beth and Nancy Bigley, these women that are in these leadership roles that maybe aren't so traditional that women lead these organizations at the ages that they did and as young as they were. And quite frankly, so that helped me because I mirrored them. I mirrored what it was that I thought made them successful or what they were so good at. And then, you know, my best friend is a Mr. Rooter franchisee owner, Michelle, BFF. It's weird for me to say your name's Michelle, my BFF. And she really is a feminine, wonderful, born mother. She really helped me to find my femininity. And so I learned from all of these amazing people to really just be comfortable in my own skin with what I was, what I brought to the table. And, you know, you surround yourself with these people that you want to emulate or be like, and then you do, right? You do.
Yeah, I love that. So how about, what do you feel like is your greatest accomplishment to date?
Oh, greatest accomplishment. So I always say being a mom is my greatest accomplishment because it's the hardest job I've ever had. Hardest job.
It is true.
Talk about that. My, you know, business side came to me easily and momming didn't. I feel like I'm a nature nurturer person at heart. Compassionate and connective anyway. I know that stuff about me. And so that eventually, you know, made me realize that I am a freaking great mom, but you know, it's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. Hardest thing.
So, did you have the business before you had the children or did you have the children as you went into the business?
Yeah. I mean, kind of both. Like I was definitely in the launching of my career and then had the kids. And so, you know, I was like, spun out. I was all the way going, you know, it was, oh, the baby was, I mean, Grace, the oldest, she was in, you know, I worked right up until I had her. 2 weeks later, where she was in the office, she's grown up crawling around a plumbing company, you know, all of the kids have. And so, you know, we just brought them along with us. And once I kind of realized that, look, they chose me, this is going to be okay, you know, then we're going to work through it. So for that personal side, being a mom, hands down, greatest accomplishment ever. Business-wise, is founding, launching my own company, Barrels, Brews, and Bites, is definitely my most significant business accomplishment. I think because I started that company from the ground up, and you know, it's been my greatest accomplishment and my greatest sorrow because unfortunately during this pandemic, we are faced with closing these doors. So, you know, great accomplishments often come with really big ass failures. So,
So that's what I was going to, I'm so glad that we're talking about this. I own a brewery with my husband and it is the hardest thing is to own a business, to be a mother, to make it all happen and keep the wheels on. And you were thrown so many challenges when you opened up. You've been so successful in all of the neighborly brands you've been part of, right? And everybody in franchising really respects the work that you do and knows that you're a hard worker. So then you're putting your heart and soul into this. So what is that like going through those challenges or leading your team through that and through this transition of having to actually close down the business?
Oh, it's just been, it's been one of the greatest challenges of my career. Absolutely. I mean, I am in this position where I'm leading this company that both of them are essential businesses, but way different, right? Plumbing has always been a business. We did not shut down during this pandemic. And so shifting and pivoting what that looks like is a lot different than also this essential business that we tried to switch to a to-go model that it was never meant for and, you know, then didn't work is just, you know, a whole other thing. So definitely this balancing act of, you know, going through this close down. But the one thing that remained true for both of these companies is that I have got to be, you know, present. I have to be present. I have to be, you know, working really hard at making that next right decision. no matter what it is. And when I was faced with the reality of where the numbers were, the uncertainty of where that industry is going for B3, it just was, it was clear that I had to make that really tough call. And the worst part, the hardest part, was, you know, letting my team members know. I have amazing team members. Culture is a big thing for me. So I've never had to let people know that they don't have a job before. Never, you know, I mean, never had to close doors to something that I opened. And I know I'm not alone. I know I'm not alone in this experience by any means, but it has taken all of my experiences that have led me here to draw on some strength about what it means, you know, to take big risks and not necessarily get big rewards. You know, I haven't experienced that over time. So
yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. Would you, knowing the outcome, would you go back and not start the business? Do you feel like it was still worth the journey that you took and the big leap of faith to do this? I mean, you had so much passion for the brand.
Yeah, no, I mean, I look about that you constantly, right? You go back and go, is that the biggest mistake I've ever made? Oh, I mean, this is a huge financial loss, emotional loss, all of it, right? It, knowing what I know now, would I make that same decision? And the truth is yes, because I was so, we look for signs, right? We look for what's the next best sign and I kept getting a lot of yeses. I kept getting like, yeah, I should pursue this. Yes, this is something I should do. And so there, I definitely still would have done it, because even though the ending is a closure of this particular company right now, there's a lesson there, an experience there that I don't know where it will take me. I don't know what I will have needed to learn this lesson for, but I absolutely had to go through the experience. And side benefit is raising daughters in an environment like this. Like I didn't even realize how much they were watching me and how much that they will have seen this experience of it's okay to chase your dreams. It's okay to be bold and take risks, even when it doesn't always work out, because it doesn't always work out. And failure is part of the process, and, you know, coming to terms with what that means. I mean, my daughter Grace is like, Mom, you didn't fail. You didn't fail. You know, you did exactly what you said you were going to do. It just didn't work like we thought it would, you know. We just had a lot of things going on that were part of the process. So it's been an interesting experience, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to understand that you don't have control over Mother Nature and all the other stuff that's been thrown at you this year. It's insane.
I mean, I think I control everything. What the hell?
Right? I'm there with you. That's right. So you talked about your mentors, you talked about your friends. Who else has been an influential part of your journey, or, you know, who do you really surround yourself with to build the successes that you have in your career?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I was blessed to be raised by parents who told me I could be or do or have anything I ever wanted. And then I believed them. So it's so strange. I mean, come on. Like I was a poster child for, I mean, buck teeth, big glasses. These are just my little, you know, cute glasses now. I used to have big glasses. I had eye surgeries. I mean, I was the redheaded stepchild, right? That was,
I don't believe it. We might have to follow up photos.
Follow up photos. I'll send you some. Oh my gosh. So I was a little awkward. I was a little awkward when I was little. And my parents never saw that in me, right? Parents never do. And I was raised by a woman who has an incredible work ethic. My mama drug me out of bed when I was a teenager, when I didn't want to go to work at Burger King. And, you know, she would call my boss if that was the case, right? There was no getting around working. And of course I didn't like that then, but draw so much on that experience now that I have a fantastic work ethic because of her. And my dad is a wonderful observer of life. He is a wonderful person that reflects and rests and knows and has taught me that that is just as important, especially when you're very ambitious and you have this other work ethic, that the balance of rest and reflection. And so they just made me, you know, amazing, gave me amazing tools that I didn't even know I was being taught.
Yeah. What did your parents do? Did your mom work, and did they both do in life?
Yeah. So, my mom was primarily spent the last 30 years in the insurance industry. So yeah, she worked every day. I saw her get up every day. She worked hard when she was young, multiple jobs and nursing homes. And, you know, she worked all the time. And so I just didn't know any different that that's what you were supposed to do. And my dad started early as a commercial fisherman and a logger. And then over the last 30 years was a California Highway Patrolman, served our country as a Marine. So
now I have visions of chips in my head.
Yes, you do. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
All right. So looking back at this, what do you feel like is your proudest moment that you want to share with us?
I mean, you know, I think I mentioned it a little bit. My proudest moment is opening B3. That is a huge moment. Even though I had to close it because my girls were there with me to help me open it, do the dishes, you know, they're helping me close it. One of the things, though, that, you know, we talked about proudest moments and greatest accomplishments, we've been lucky enough to surround ourselves with great people in our team. Like I said, I accidentally learned how to build a culture by surrounding myself with people that I, you know, I could trust and that I invested in, and they invested back in me. And so I have a phenomenal management team that really runs the daily operation. But one of the best things that happens is we've been awarded the best places to work for 12 years in a row in the North Bay. And that just speaks volume about my team, because we caretake for each other. We talk about it all the time. I mean, people will say, what is your favorite day of the week? And I say Tuesdays, because that's our all team meeting day, you know, and I get to see everyone that's on our team. And I am certainly, you know, that cheerleader, that coach that is the one that brings everyone in, and we talk about everything that we can. So a challenge for me has been that disconnect during this pandemic, because I mean, to be honest, like we're hands-on people. My plumbers don't necessarily have a minute in their vehicle to just hop on a Zoom and let's just, you know, take care of this. That's not, you know, a lot of the mentality that their technology is based around. And so we've definitely had to do some shift for making sure that that culture, that foundation that we started with still carries us, even though 8 weeks we haven't been able to see each other in person. And often, I mean, we're still open and whatnot. So, you know, having that business that is a reflection of the culture and the team around you, that is also, you know, just one of the greatest, proudest moments as well.
Fantastic. So when you have this team, and this can be either now when you are doing this remotely, but how do you go about inspiring them or motivating them at work or to do their jobs? What are some things you can share with us?
So I have always been kind of a teacher. Like when I was a kid, I would play, you know, school, right? My little dolls would all line up and I'd have my little notebook and, you know, I'm going to teach to them and whatnot. So I didn't really realize that innately I'm a teacher. That's really what I am. And in that I build people by teaching what I learn. That's really it. It's not rocket science. It's just, there's something that I learned. Ooh, how can I apply that? Or how can I share that information with those around me? So we always start with, you know, music. We get the team going. Like it's a party, come on, you know, life is so serious. Let's just get some music going. So we all called up in general, 8 weeks ago, this is what it looked like. Looks a little different now. we go over our numbers. Where did we win? Where did we win? Where did we learn, right? We go over what we accomplished for the week. So we do shout outs. We take time for the team to be able to share what they loved about each other that really helped, you know, team member that helped somebody else out, or a pitfall to avoid. What did we learn when we backed up into that trailer yesterday? You know, those kinds of things. And then I always share something motivational or inspirational. It has nothing to do with being a plumber and has nothing to do with being a CSR, a team member of ours. It has everything to do with being human. And so I teach things that I've learned, like design your life through Dina. I teach debt reduction courses that I've learned, that I've taken through the IFA, you know, channels of other things. And goal casts and podcasts and anything that I can learn that others are doing or have succeeded at or failed at, right? I turn it into something that they can apply within themselves, to themselves personally through their businesses. I mean, look, I'm a woman talking to 85% of my team are men, right? And I am a woman teaching men how to talk to women because 85% of our customers are women.
Yeah, that's complicated.
So it's complicated, but it's also been super fun, you know, super fun to see very masculine macho men role play about how to speak to their spouse better.
That's what I was going to say. I wonder how many of them are taking that into their personal life, because I'm sure there's many men that would be like, yes, please, please, please tell me how to make that work.
Right. And then there's some that's like, no, don't call on me. I don't want to be picked. And so, you know, of course, just like any teacher, right? Oh, let's go, David, get up.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I love it. That's great. Yeah. And I think that that's probably the hardest thing that all leaders struggle with is how do you grow your team and how do you keep them inspired and motivated? So those are some great examples.
Yeah.
So how about if you could tell yourself one thing going back 20 years, so Sonda now goes back and tells Sonda 20 years ago something, what would you tell her?
Well, first of all, I will say that the street sweeper's coming, so it's going to get a little...
Okay, it's going to get crazy.
That's what's happening. Oh, like it's calming down. 20 years ago, I would have given myself the advice that in my pursuit of success, be sure to check in with my satisfaction. You know, be sure to check in with your happiness. I mean, I feel like there's so many of us that when we grow ourselves, we grow our businesses, we're constantly comparing ourselves and our businesses to others, and we're viewing their success based on our satisfaction. And that's really the opinion of someone else, really. And we can't control the opinion of someone else. And so I like to say that the opinion of someone else measures success, but your measurement for success is your satisfaction. And I would have raced to find happiness sooner. I thought happiness looked like being a man, right? I thought like happiness looked like manning up and doing my job, you know, and it wasn't that. It wasn't. And so really becoming my own person, really becoming who I, you know, embracing my gifts, really, you know, embracing the fact that I'm a mom that, you know, multitasks and also love to drink wine and cuss sometimes. And, you know, and that's okay, because that's powerfully who I am, you know, because you'll be criticized anyway. So as possible, if possible, give yourself grace. Learn that happiness is your own opinion.
Oh, I love it. So I was going to ask you, I was going to follow up and say, what advice would you give to young women that are just entering the workforce? What you just said to yourself 20 years ago.
Right. Oh, I mean,
it's about it.
Yeah, that kind of sums it up. I mean, but this is a really great example. So like personally, my daughter Grace, I mean, I talk about my kids a lot. You know, Grace is an A-type of retriever personality like me when I was young. But I'm a little bit of a hippie, and that's Ella. She's my look, I feel, do what I want. I don't really, you know, vibe with whatever's going on with yourself. And I love that they both pursue what they love differently in different avenues, you know. But for example, like Grace, she said, when I grow up, I want to be more successful than my mom. And she mentioned it to someone else first, and then she told me. And she was a little nervous about me hearing that statement. And I was like, why would you be nervous about me hearing that? I love this statement. Like, I love that you want to do that. And so I got the opportunity then to tell her, you'll be more successful than me if you find your happiness quicker than I did. And then doing so will expound your, whatever your business success looks like. You know, she's a student at OSU, the Beaver School of Business at Corvallis, and they're doing some amazing things on the business side right now. I mean, they're analyzing what businesses are working still, like what's an essential business, and is that something that's going to be something you should be looking into as a, you know, business major and wanting to be an entrepreneur, and what that looks like to you. I mean, what an amazing time, right, to be in this industry. So, and then I think too, I think there's this sort of romantic concept about being self-employed. Well, there's a difference between being self-employed and being a small business owner. And it has everything to do with how much time, energy, and effort you involve in yourself in both of those things. So so teaching advice to the workforce, I would say, you know, really look at what your passions are. And if you're going to be self-employed, know that your business revolves around yourself. So no time off, no time with family, whatever. And that's okay, because we all have to start somewhere and be that self-employed person. But if you can model it to the point where you are a small business owner, right, and you encourage culture building and team building and leadership building, now you're a small business owner. And that is what provides the wealth of time and energy and effort to you. So certainly things to look at as a woman entering the workforce these days.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah.
And also too, I know that you are connected with some, you've already named a lot of them, some really fantastic leaders and women in franchising.
Yes.
Do you have any advice to young women on how they can connect with others and model that? Because I am lucky enough to have spent time with you out at conferences and stuff, and the light you bring to people is visible. And so how can those younger women that haven't connected with others in our industry, what are some ideas for them to meet others and to start building those relationships early?
Well, I will tell you that with a bunch of shame, but not really, is I became a stalker of those that I saw. And I've been lucky enough to have the opportunity to attend many IFA functions, IFA events, but other WFNs and anything that I can get my hands on that I can learn from. And when I see a woman who is up there and I can hear and connect with them, I want to know them, and I make an effort to go know them. For example, Susan Blackbeth, who is a great mentor of mine that I mentioned, she and I met because I stalked her. So we might share this message, but I saw her speaking at a WFN, and it was years and years and years ago.
Probably 14.
Right. Yes, exactly. She had her short little blonde hair, and she was from the stage spewing jokes, right? But also spewing knowledge and inspiration. And I was like, what? Who is this person? I need to know her. And so I did. I found her contact information. I wrote a card to her saying how impactful she was in my day and that I said that we need to be friends. Graciously, she accepted my stalkery. So amazing, right? That's been so cool.
It's a fairy tale when it doesn't end in a restraining order.
Exactly. So becoming, just put your, here's the thing, women, especially in franchising, especially in small business, we embrace each other. You know, we are about helping each other out. And we are this safe place to share the bad. Like my BFF has said to me, it's okay to share the bad, because in the beginning I didn't. I was like, are you successful? Yes. Are you making money? Yes. Lying. Yes. Are you doing it? Oh, yeah. Everything's great. I'm great. It's fine. Everything's fine. Right?
That is a great, great point.
It's embarrassing to share the bad, and maybe you don't have all the answers, but when you surround yourself with this tribe of successful team members, women, mentors, sisters, brothers, whoever it is that is a safe place for you to share, that's where the true authenticity of yourself is. That's where you can literally share everything bad, and what you get back in return is everything good. You get back that honest conversation, that truth of, I went through this, I know someone, let me get you in touch with. Well, that connection of help and support is amazing. And I just love that about franchising in general, but I love that about the tribe that I have been so lucky to surround myself with, because we help you. I mean, whether it's a happy hour or a text message or a phone call, or, used to be an in-person visit, you know, that's our lifeblood, right? To being and leading and making those next right decisions for our families and our teams and everyone we come in contact with. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my goodness. This was so amazing. So that's it for me. I don't know if you have anything else to wrap up. I just absolutely really appreciate you sharing your time. This was so wonderful.
Absolutely. I mean, I appreciate you having me. I encourage women who are, are looking to do business and looking to be in business to, again, reach out, do a little stalkery if it doesn't end in a restraining order. surround yourself with people. Like I've just been so blessed. I can't express to you the amount of networking that happens through IFA, through franchising, through other in your community, at your local, you know, FBNs, or even at a Chamber of Commerce meeting or anything. When you surround yourself with people that do what you do every day and then can, you know, connect with someone that you're like, you know what, you got something that I need, you got something that I really admire or appreciate, people are willing to share. Yeah. And I encourage all of that. And you can stalk me too. I might respond. I might restrain. I don't know.
I think you should take it on a case by case basis.
Case by case basis.
Oh, thank you so much, Sonda.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.